Well, if you would please join me, we're going to be in Ezekiel chapter 37. And we're going to be reading verses 1 to 14. Ezekiel 37, 1 to 14. Ezekiel chapter 37, starting at verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." Then he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'Dry bones, hear the word of the Lord.' This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath into you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, 'This is what the Sovereign Lord says: Come, breathe from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, "This is what the Sovereign Lord says: My people, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." Let us give thanks for God's words. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for the lessons that you bring us in these, that you help us to hear your voice, that you help us to see the things that are pleasing to you. And so we ask now, Father, that you help us to open up our hearts to receive them, to receive your gifts, to receive your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, this is the second part of the series of being Spirit-led. And if you remember, we started in last week, we did another part of Ezekiel where Ezekiel was sent to prophesy to the prophets, because they weren't speaking the word of God. They were speaking their own words. They were following their own spirit. And so Ezekiel went to straighten it out, to give them God's message and to help them to understand these things. And so then as we saw that, then we saw a lot about God's wrath. We saw a lot about the things that anger God and that God will use that and he will bring that against us. That somehow or some way that his wrath shows up for us. And certainly we know as those of the New Testament, of those who are saved in Jesus Christ, we know that the judgment yet remains. That when God comes, if we're not for God, we will be against God. And if we're against God, then we will survive the judgment, but it won't be with him. It will be in hell. And so as we look here at Ezekiel, we have to understand that these are the same words, that these are the same things that he's saying to them. He's trying to call them to follow him. He's trying to help them to understand that they follow His Spirit and not their own. And that now that Ezekiel is there with the exiles, he's with all of those who have been cast out from their homeland. He's there, that their nation has been torn apart and is being defiled. We have to ask ourselves, is God really going to use the people of Israel? Is it really over for them? Is this it? But you see, we think of those things in terms of the world. We think of those things in terms of ourselves, of how we see things. And we look at something and we see it a certain way and we think that's the way it should be. But then God comes along and God does something, especially what we find in His Scripture, and we don't get it. We don't understand. It seems a little bit backwards. But you see, but this is what God wants. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to understand how backwards and upside down we really are. And that as he brings Ezekiel to his people, or he gets ready to, there's just things that are going on here in his vision. But before that, I want to kind of back you up a little bit into chapter 36, and at verse 24 down to 28. God says, "For I will take you out of the nations. I will gather you from all the countries and bring you back into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities, from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees." That would be his laws and his commandments. "And be careful to keep my laws. And be careful to keep my laws. And then you will live in the land I gave your ancestors. You will be my people, and I will be your God." So God, then, as he puts them through these things, as he exiles them, as he puts them into the desert, as he takes them along, we see certain amount of things that are going on that really reveal to us who God is. But as he does these things, he has a purpose. And he's letting his people know, this is the purpose. I'm taking you through these things so that you can be cleansed. So that you can be free of your sins, then come to me. That then as I bring you through these things, then I am making you mine. And then when I bring you through these things, and after you come out on the other end of whatever it is, you will know that I am God. You will be my people. I will be your God. You know, loved ones, I see this plastered all over the life of the believers. I see this plastered all over Scripture. I see this plastered all over our own very lives, our personal lives. That as God takes us from place to place, that we go through these things, that we go through the suffering, we go through the despair of what it is to be away from God. We go through all of these things, and then at the very end, if we're faithful, if we know who He is, then we stand with God and we say, "God, forgive me. I'm with you, God. I'm following you now, Lord." And so then we know He is God, that we are His people, He is our God. So that's what I want to look at in this first. I want to look at these two things. I want to look at first how God uses His prophets. We see kind of a sequence or an order of things. And then I want to look at how God's people respond to this, how God takes His people through these things. Again, another sequence of events that take place there that we see everywhere in Scripture and that we can even see in our lives. If we just take the Scripture and apply it to our lives, we'll see it. But as we look at this, the one thing that I really want you to hold on to is this idea, is that God reveals Himself to us in this. He's walking with us in the Holy Spirit. He is here with us when we sleep. He is here with us when we're awake. He's here with us when we change our church. But are we looking for it? Do you look for it in the darkest times of your life? Do you look for it in the valleys? Or do you only seek it or believe it when you're on the hills and the mountains? When are you looking for this? Well, that's why I want you to understand these sequences. I want you to understand these events. Because I don't want you to fall into the idea that everything that you go through, everything that you deal with in your personal lives, in the lives of your families, and just in your life in general. I don't want you to believe that God is not there with you. He's there with you. He's taking you through it. It's too easy for us to say, well, Satan made me do it. That's too easy. That would not save us to understand Satan made us do something. That would just mean that we belong to Satan. But rather what it means is that then God, as he walks us through these things, as he shows us our sins and we're given these sins, he lets us have them. If we want to sin, God will let you sin. It's as easy as that. If you want to do it, it's yours. But God says it comes without me. Without your sin, or with your sins, you cannot stand in my presence. So as we look at that, that's what I want you to look for in these sequences. I want you to see the things of your God in his orderliness. I want you to know who he is. I want you to understand that he reveals his character to you. He's not hiding from you. He never has. He's with you always. If you believe in him and you know him and you walk with him, he's there. If you fall down and you stumble and your bones become dry, he is there. So let's take a look at the prophets first. We have Ezekiel here, and this one's a little bit easier. That's why I'm starting with that one first. Because Ezekiel is pretty easy to figure out, right? You know, back when Moses, in Moses' time, that God was on the mountain and Moses was going at Mount Horeb and he was talking to God for his people, you know, he came down. He says, okay, God wants us all come up. And they say, hey, you know what? You go up and talk to him for us. Because we don't know what will happen if we stand in his presence. Okay, so they were a little bit afraid of their nature, right? They were afraid of their sin nature. They were afraid that if they stood in God's presence, well, he would wipe them out. And plus, they've been told that if you see God, you'll die. So they didn't want that. You know, so what do? They tell Moses, you do it. You know, you go up and you speak for us, Moses. So Moses became one of the first spokesmen for God's people. And so as we see that take place, we see then that Moses is a prophet of God, that he is a proclaimer of God. A prophet is a proclaimer of God's word. Sometimes they talk to the direct time that they're in. In other words, what are you doing right now? And then sometimes they talk to, what are you going to do tomorrow? Okay, so as the prophets then were coming out and talking to people, God just sent them with his message to visit with his people, to tell his people, to correct his people, rebuke them, to encourage them, to help them to understand that God was still with them. All right, so we have Ezekiel, a prophet. Ezekiel, kind of a hapless prophet, if you will, that he didn't really want to do this. He doesn't really understand what he's doing, but he did it anyway because he has faith in God. And so then as God pulls him out of the crowd, of the priests even, of the other prophets, he pulls him out, and that as he pulls him out of the crowd of the people, that when he sets him aside, he takes him and sets him aside, God gives him a message, and he says, you go tell them. So Ezekiel takes that message, and he goes over, and he tells his people. Remember, it was the same thing with the prophets. God said, Ezekiel, go tell my prophets this. And Ezekiel said, okay, I'll go tell them. And so he goes over, and he tells them. Now, that puts Ezekiel in a little bit of hazard, doesn't it? A little bit of jeopardy. But Ezekiel's faithful to God. He knows who saves. He knows who gives life and who gives death, true death. And so then God says, do this. Ezekiel does that. He goes over and he tells the people, this is the vision that God has given me for you. This is the message that your God has for you. All right, so it seems like a pretty simple thing. It seems like, you know, it really wouldn't take much. It's the hazard that comes all in between it. That when he comes and he talks to people and he speaks this truth to them, they don't want to hear it. They don't want to accept it. They don't understand. They don't want it. They feel sorry for themselves. They don't feel like God is with them. And so as Ezekiel brings that to them, then he's got to deal with all of that as well. And if you remember from the story of Ezekiel, he does a lot of odd things in there to bring God's message. But he's always trying to get their attention. He's always trying to help them to understand this. And so then as God brings Ezekiel forward, and Ezekiel goes and he talks first to the prophets and then to the people, that as he talks to the prophets, I think there's a question that really kind of comes up. It's like, well, how do we know that Ezekiel really is a prophet? That Ezekiel then called out by God, well, there's a couple of things that we can look at, and that goes with anybody. You know, as you look up here, I hope there are certain things that you're looking at. How do we know that that guy is really speaking the truth? How do we really know that that guy is a believer? All right? You know, I think there was a time in our past where somebody stood up here and they said, I'm a pastor. We just assumed, well, in that case, he's a holy man, right? It's true, I am a holy man. No, I'm not. Come on now. Come on now. Don't put too much on my shoulders. See, I am a man of God. I do love God, but I am just, at best, a man. And so Ezekiel is, at best, a man. And so as Ezekiel then, he walks forward, then we have to ask ourselves, well, how do we know? How do we know? Well, back in Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verses 21 to 22, we're told this. You may say to yourselves, okay, here we go. How can we know when a message has not been spoken by the Lord? Right? That's not familiar? How do we know that? Verse 22, if what a prophet proclaims in the name of the Lord does not take place or come true, that is a message of the Lord, that is a message the Lord has not spoken. That prophet has spoken presumptuously. So do not be alarmed. Okay, so if the prophet comes to you and he says something, he says, this is what the Lord God says, and it's not true or it doesn't come true, then it's not God's words. He's spoken presumptuously. In other words, he's just spoken for himself. He's spoken what he thinks is best. He's being presumptuous. He's assuming that this is what God would want for himself. So as we look at that and we try to apply that to Ezekiel, we look at Ezekiel, we see these things take place. But here's the thing that I really want you to think about the most. Ezekiel's bringing out the word of God. He's bringing the word of the Lord to God's people. And so as he brings that word out to them, it should give us an indicator or a reminder of something else. It should lay into our hearts, there's something else going on here. That as he does these things, he brings this weird vision to them, and he says, this is what happened in my vision, and so now I'm telling you these things, and this is why God wants you to know. Where else do we know that from? How else do we see that, and not only in Scripture, but in our lives? Jesus Christ. You see, John, in John chapter 1 and verse 1, he said, the Word of God was in the beginning, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that as we understand that to be the Word of God, we understand that to be Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ then is the object of all of these things. That Jesus Christ is the object of the Old Testament and the New Testament and all the letters and all the epistles and the letters and the instructions that we get there. And then also then in Revelation, Jesus is the focus. Jesus is the one that he keeps turning us to. So as we look at that and we say, well, what does that got to do with anything? What does that have to do with us? Well, we understand them. Jesus came. They sometimes refer to him as a prophet. He was a proclaimer of God's word. Well, you know, he had an inside, right? Because he was God. And so as he spoke this word then, it was up to the people to hear it and then to decide, do we believe it? Is it true? Well, how do we know is it true? Deuteronomy chapter 18, verses 21 to 22 say, you see, so already by the time that Jesus showed up, much of God's promises are starting to come true. They're starting to show themselves to be true. That whatever God had said would happen, happens to them. And there's some things that he promised to them, promises to them that haven't happened yet. But they know because of what God has done in their lives. Because what we find in ourselves, we find in Scripture, that we know then that they will come true. So we wait for them patiently. We wait for them. So you see, so that's what the prophet does. The prophet comes out and reminds people of not only what God has said, but what he said is going to happen. And so as the prophet does that then, he is used as God's messenger to bring truth from God. And nowhere else and no one else. It doesn't do you any good if I come up here and I talk to you about my life. I mean, you can get to know me. There's no problem with that. You can get to know me. You're not going to be impressed. But as we come together and as we walk together in this path, here's the thing that I want you to know. It's not about me, okay? It's about Jesus Christ. It's about God. It's about the Holy Spirit in your life. And so that's what a prophet does. A prophet continues to turn you towards that. A prophet continues to say, this is the Word of God. This is what God has said, and this is where God has brought you. And so as you listen and you hear that, then you should turn away from the prophet, and this is what Ezekiel expects him to do, to turn away from him and to look and see what it was that God has told him to do. So God then sends Ezekiel with this message over to them. He says to them the word of the Lord. And so when he says that to them, there is a reaction. There is something that should happen to the people, and they respond to that. And that's where we come into our second sequence, the sequence of the people's response. Now, it really details some of that here in Ezekiel, and we're going to come back to that. But I want to take you to a different side of it. And the reason I want to do that is to help you to understand that Scripture speaks, and we decide on the truth of Scripture because, well, we have other Scripture. Other Scripture helps us to understand these things. Other Scripture helps us to see how it is that God works. We don't take something and isolate it and say, well, this is the Word of God, so we're just going to run off on this one. Because we could really develop some weird doctrine from that. We could develop some really strange stuff out of pieces of Scripture. Okay, so that's why I want to do that for you. All right, so let's take a look at Psalm 23. You don't have to go there. I'm just going to read these to you. And so God, in leading his people and helping them to respond to his word, I want to look at Psalm 23. Okay, everybody has that memorized, I'm sure. Psalm 23 and verse 4. And verse 4 tells us, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Does that sound familiar? Oh, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's for you King Jamesers. But as we look at the Word of God, we use this a lot in places, don't we? Do you know where we use this a lot? Funerals. You hear this a lot in funerals. Now, I'm okay with that. I'm not trying to push a movement to get Psalm 23 out of funerals at all. But the reason that it is because it's for life. It's for those who are still alive. It's for those who are still alive that they can hear this word of God. That he says in verse 4, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Isn't that good words? Don't you think that's good words? Everybody shake your head. Even if you don't mean it, shake your head. That way I feel better when I go. But you see, all of that comes after something else. All of that comes in sequence, in the order of God, how God works with his people. And in Psalm 23, in verses 1 to 3, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. So in other words, God leads us first. God leads us. We follow God, and as we follow him, as we follow the Spirit of God, as we walk through those valleys with him, he leads us because he has nourished us. He has taken care of us. And then when we go through that, he will do it again. We don't fear walking into the valley of the shadow of death. We do not fear walking into the valley that has dry bones. We don't fear because God walks with us. And as he walks with us and he helps us to come along, he helps us to understand that I am your God. That God, not me God. That he helps us to understand this. He wants you to know that. And so he does these things so you can understand it. And so there's another verse that I want to throw in that, because as God walks us along, there's something that happens, this communication that takes place as we're walking along with God, as he's bringing us along. In Psalm 46 and verse 10, many of you know this, God says, be still and know that I am God. How many of you are familiar with that? Hold your hand up if you're familiar with that. Okay, put your hands down. Here's the rest of it. He says, okay, I'm going to get that back to you. He says, be still and know that I am God. Here's the rest. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. You see, he wants you to know him so he will be exalted. You were created to bring glory to God. You were created for no other purpose. And when we fell in our sin nature, when mom and dad, Adam and Eve, fell into the sin nature, then God continued to work with us so that we would step up and out and that we would continue to walk with him and to walk bringing him glory, that we would exalt him among the earth and among the nations. So we be still. We stop talking so much. We stop, kind of getting in God's way. We hold still and we listen to what God says. God tells us and he straightens us out. A place that we see that really show us, and a great example of that is in Genesis chapter 50 in verses 19 to 20. It's the story of Joseph and his brothers. When remember the story of Joseph, his brothers sold him into slavery. And then all these horrible things happen to Joseph as he walks faithfully in God. And his life seems like a shamble, but Joseph never gives up on walking with God. Joseph never surrenders. He continues to walk with God. If you remember, you men, this is a good example for us. For Joseph, he had a run-in with Potiphar's wife, right? And she was flirting with him. She was coming on to him. I think that's the vernacular, right? We say coming on. I don't know. Yeah, because I don't come on to nothing anymore. So, And so as Joseph is dealing with that, then he recognized, and here's the advice, guys. This is what Joseph does. He throws himself out the window, even as she tears his clothes off. He throws himself out the window. That's what you do, man. If you're ever in a position like Joseph with Potiphar's wife, then what you do, throw yourself out the window. Say, well, what if it's the fourth story? Do it anyway. I would rather be dead in faith than alive in the hands of an angry God. Okay? That's your men tip for the day. All right? Throw yourselves out the window. Whatever it takes. So Joseph has his brothers in front of him. They're afraid because Jacob has just died. They know that they rest in Joseph's hands, that whatever Joseph says will happen to them. And then Joseph says, but Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. You got that? He holds their lives in his hands and he says, don't be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Am I God? Am I God that I would do this? Do you think that I would act in your life as God? You intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. This is what Joseph says to them. Joseph is saying to them, all of this time that you were hurting me and doing all these things and you put me in all this trouble in this dark valley, that all the time that I was doing that, I wasn't thinking about you, I was thinking about God. I was thinking about what God does in my life and how he was going to get me through this. I didn't think about you guys, even though you sold me. You threw me in a well and then you sold me. I wasn't thinking about that at all. All I was thinking about was God. So as we see that in Joseph's life, we see that he never let go. But now let's take a look. Let's take a look at the people of God, Israel, as they are facing now this this prophecy from Ezekiel. And we're going to find that in our verse 11 is where we're going to start. Let's back up a little bit. Let's go into verse 10. So Ezekiel comes and he makes this prophecy. And he says, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." So this is his vision. God takes Ezekiel and he walks him through this valley. Okay? Now it wasn't enough that he just said, "This is a valley of dry bones." That wasn't enough. What he did was he took Ezekiel and he walked him over there, and then he brought him over there, and then he took him over there, and he brought him in a big circle and across, cross hatch kind of thing across all of it, and he said, "This is the dry bones. Do you see that? Do you see that, Ezekiel?" "Yeah, I see it." "Well, now we're going to go over here. Okay, do you see the dry bones?" "Yeah, I see those too." "Okay, now let's go over here." And so he takes him over there. What is he doing? Why is he doing this with Ezekiel? Because he wants Ezekiel to see the problem. He wants Ezekiel to know that this is an issue, that this is the issue. They are dry bones. Later we find out that it's Israel. These are the people who are alive in your presence, and they're dry bones. They are dead. The life is out of them. Can you imagine that? Can you see that in your mind? Anybody who's ever watched Death Valley sees dry bones, right? Anybody who's ever known in any of the stuff from the desert, that you see the dead animals out there, their bones are bleached white, that they're dry. There's no moisture left in them. There's no moisture left in the bones of the people. And that as Ezekiel looks in his vision, he sees nothing. The forest filled with them. And so as he shows him all this thing, it's a matter of this is what it is. Ezekiel, do you think, Ezekiel, that life can be breathed back into these bones? And you notice Ezekiel's response. It is as faithful as it gets. Ezekiel says, "Sovereign Lord." In other words, "You're my God. You're above everything. Only you alone know, Lord." And so he submits. So he recognizes, he praises the Lord, but then he submits to the Lord. And so then the Lord gives him this idea, this message. He shows him this vision of, "This is what I want you to speak to your people." And it affects Ezekiel not only in what he has to say, but it affects his whole being. That as he looks and he sees this, he knows that those are the people that he loves. He knows that those are the people that he serves, that he was exiled with them. He is one of them. That as he stands in exile with them, that he looks upon them and he says, "This is my country. This is my nation. These are my people that are all dried up. Their bones are dead. There's nothing left in them. There's no more life." And Ezekiel confirms that. That is it. He sees it. He sees it. And so God gives him a message to take to his people. So in verse 10, he says, "So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them." God was bringing them to life. They came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. Okay, so first Ezekiel sees, he hears the sound of the bones rattling. He hears all the sounds, and then he sees the tendons come back on. Wouldn't that be kind of gross too? He sees all the tendons come back onto them, and he sees the flesh come back on them. We should save this for Halloween, shouldn't we? That all this is taking place, and all this is happening, and he's watching all this take place. And then God says he's going to breathe the life into them. And so they stand up. They stand up. A vast army when God breathes life into them. Notice there's a response that God breathes life into them. He puts them all together. There's no life, but God breathes into them. The Holy Spirit, the Numenoi, God himself, that as he speaks to them, as he breathes life into them, just like he brought Adam and Eve to life, that he puts the breath in them. He puts the breath into his people. He revives them. He revives them. And he gets them, he puts that breath in them, and they stand right up, a vast army. "We are here, Lord. We are ready to serve. We are ready to follow you, God. We were once dead, but now we live. We were once lost, but now we are found." And then in verse 11, he says, "Then he said to him, Ezekiel, the son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. These are your people. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We're cut off. Therefore prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says, my people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them." What's he talking about? Resurrection. He's talking about resurrection. He's talking about the resurrection. He's talking about lifting people up out of their graves and helping them to be alive again, to be revived in Him. So not only is He talking about their lives, but He's talking about their lives. He's talking about eternal life. He says, go tell them this, Ezekiel. Tell them that this is what the promise is that they have. Tell them that then when they come alive in me, that they will be raised from their graves. That when they die, they will never die. That when I call them out, they will respond and they will listen. But here is the cycle, here is the order, here's the sequence of things that is going on. There is despair in the people, right? Their despair, you know, it's just overwhelming. It's something that I can associate with, actually, that, you know, that you, when you run into a problem in your life and it just knocks you down to the ground and you think, there's nothing left for me. There is nothing else that I can go through. God, I can't take anymore. That you run through this despair. And if you look at the three things that they fall into in the despair, it's really easy to find that. They say, our bones are dried up. Our bones are dried up. There's no life left. Have you ever felt that, loved ones? You know, where you're facing a problem, you're in the middle of something, and you look at your life and you say, there's just no life left in me. You know, and you know what we do? What we do is we find other things to replace that. We find other things to replace that life. That's where our sins come in. Our sins tell us it's okay to do that. The world tells us it's all right. Replace God with all these other things. You'll feel like you're alive. You say, well, what are those other things? I know you want to know. Well, you tell me. What are you filling your lives with and not with God? But so they're all dried up and they say, our hope is gone. Our hope is gone. There's no more hope. We have hopelessness. We have no more hope. What are you hoping in? What do you want hope in? Do you want it in a moment that you live here in this life that is temporary? Or do you want your hope to be forever? But so you see, they no longer feel this attachment, this touch of forever. They no longer feel this attachment or this touch to the eternal life that God promises them. They feel like they are cut off. Cut off from what? What are you cut off from? Well, we're cut off from God. We're cut off from God. Our bones are dried up. Our bones are dried up. We have no life left in us. We have no hopeless, or we have no hope in anything. We're hopeless. So we can't feel God's presence. So then in the sequence of things, then God sends His prophet. And His prophet says, God told me to tell you to remember that when you die, you never die. That when you are buried in a grave, you will be raised from that grave. And you will live in God. Do you remember that, people of Israel? Do you remember that, those who say that we are God's people and He is our God? Do you remember that that's what is waiting for you? But then God, in 13, He says it again. He says, you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. You will know that I am the Lord. Every knee shall bow. Every mouth will proclaim, Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, nothing's changed. It's all the same. Jesus came, and He brought that with Him. He became the prophet. That changed. The way we do church changed. A lot of the things of the laws that we had, those things changed. But this truth remains. This truth remains because it's always been that way. It's been what God has wanted for you all along, that God has reached out to you and that God wanted you to know that I have this waiting for you, that when you die, you will never die. If you follow my spirit and not your spirit, then you will know eternal life and you will never know despair because you will always have hope. Your bones will always be filled with life. Even in your worst day, you will have God standing right there with you. And that all you need is to turn to look at Him. And you know what? Here's the amazing thing, that as Ezekiel walks to his people, that God does the same thing for us. This is why we call it fellowship. This is why we call it the body of Christ. Because when you're in despair, and when your whole world has come to an end, or at least so you think it has, God will send you a prophet. And someone will sit next to you, and someone will say to you, I don't know how to solve your problems, but I know where your hope is. And let me remind you, your God is God. that your God has promised you life ever after. And he has never broken his promise like we have. Loved ones, I hope you understand that in this moment of despair, that in this time that we look around our world and we see all of these things that are taking place, all of these things that are happening in our world, and we think, man, there sure aren't enough of us. You are still a vast army in the name of the Lord. You are still an army that is sent out into the world to conquer it for him, not for us. You take your battle armor, you take the weapon which is your word of God, and you go out into the world with that. And he says, I will walk with you. You will never be alone. I will be with you till the end of time. Never surrender, never give up. And the reason we don't is because if God is for us, who can be against us? That as we look to the Lord and we want to know, God, what is happening? Why can't we have? We have to remember we already have. We have him. Loved ones, here's why I'm excited. This stuff all up here for VBS coming up tonight is going to make a lot of people tired. It's going to make a lot of people crazy to watch other people's kids. But they're in it with everything they got. They're going to stand as a vast army. If you are not praying for them, if you are not trying to support them in all of this, then I have to ask you, what army do you belong to? But as we bring ourselves to this moment to understand what it is that God does and how are we going to know who he is and we see him working, I'm reminded of John 14, verses 15 to 17. This is your Lord speaking. He says, if you love me, keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to help you and be with you forever. That's a promise. And that advocate is the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. He will be in you. He will walk with you. Aren't you excited? Isn't that awesome? Yes, we're going to talk about sin up here. We're going to talk about hell. We're going to talk about all the things that we do that are all messed up and we wind up in displeasing God. We're going to talk about those things. But we're going to talk about them in the light of his grace that comes in his salvation through Jesus Christ our Lord, that comes in the grace in his forgiveness, that comes in the grace that he continues to walk with us even when we probably don't deserve it, that he will walk with you. Don't walk in your own spirit, but rather follow the spirit that God leads you with. And you will never have to worry about sin. I'd like to say you never have to worry about yourself, but you'd be surprised the power you have over that decision. Father, I thank you so much for your loved ones. I thank you, Father, for this opportunity to come and speak to them about your word and your truth. Now, Lord, I ask you this, and you know I ask you this a lot. That please, Father, don't let it just be words. Let it penetrate their dry bones. Fill them with the life that only you can bring, Lord. Let the Holy Spirit work in them, so that they feel your presence, that they know that they're not cut off, that they know that they are following you. Be with them, Lord. Encourage their hearts and remind them of the vast army that they walk in. That these, Lord, right here, are those who stood up when you called them. Show them your power. Show them your mercy. Remind them of the forgiveness that they walk in. Help them to be forever grateful for their salvation. And it's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.